Ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. I'd like to see some official figures on it, but for a rough estimate, I'd say that people fall into two groups. Those who write a book, and those who read it and swear they could write it better.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again, transcribed, another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr.
I'm Doc Clemens, a friend of Will's. Well, Will's got a point there. There are a lot of critics abroad in the world, and a surprising number of them call Elyria their home. Of course, it's a healthy sign, to my way of thinking. Folks here have opinions on just about anything you'd care to discuss, and a few things you'd just as soon not. And a lot of it's critical, or leastwise arbitrary. Now, you take Philo Trimble, for example. Philo is a haberdasher by trade and a critic by nature. Meet him on the street and say, "Nice day, isn't it, Philo?" And you run the risk of hearing a dozen reasons why he doesn't think it's a nice day. I just nod to him now. Philo comes to mind because he and Will have been locking horns this past week. They're both on the Speaker's Committee for the Civic Forum series. Sarah Holbrook holds the balance of power on the committee. I guess they're all up at Sarah's now, having at it.
No, sir, Will, I don't agree with that position at all.
You don't agree with any position, Philo, but you never come up with a better suggestion. You're always just against.
Am I?
You are, too.
Now, gentlemen, I hoped we could have a discussion of our mutual problem. I'm afraid it's disintegrated into a clash of personalities.
I'm willing to discuss the problem, Sarah. I came here to discuss it. That was my first mistake.
Was not? Your first mistake was going out on your own hook and writing that Beasley Hill to include Elyria on his February lecture.
Now, I didn't go out on my own hook, Philo, and you know it.
Don't know it at all.
Well, if you can read, and there's a question in my mind about that, it's all there in the secretary's report of the December meeting.
Gentlemen, please. Personalities. I distinctly remember saying when I invited the two of you here today, let's leave our personalities at home. Now, didn't I say that, Will?
Yes, you did, Sarah.
Philo?
Seems to me you did, Sarah, but...
But what?
Didn't agree with that position at all.
Oh, Philo, why must you be so difficult?
Sarah, personalities?
Mercy, goodness me.
Now, look, this isn't getting us anywhere. If you're both agreed, I'll just state the issues at hand for what it is, and then let's try and discuss it, and then reach a decision.
Well, I'm willing to do that.
I'm willing to.
All right, good. Now,
up to a point, of course.
Yeah, all right. Well, you let me know when we reach that point. Now, at the December meeting of the Civic Forum series, by unanimous vote of the membership, I was instructed to write Beasley Hill and ask him to fill our February speaking date.
That's right, Will.
Well, you might put it that way, I guess. Of course, that was before I had any idea who Beasley Hill was.
You didn't know Beasley Hill was one of our foremost novelists?
Didn't know it then, don't know it now.
But you did vote to have him come speak to us.
Well, must have. Says in the minutes it was a unanimous vote.
Okay, so you voted for him. Now then. Mr. Hill has graciously accepted our invitation, and all of a sudden, Philo, you say we should cancel him out.
Now you're talking. That's something I agree with.
But why? What can you possibly have against him? You don't even know who he is.
Oh, yes, I do.
Philo, just a minute ago when Sarah asked if you knew who Beasley Hill was, you said you didn't know him.
Oh, I didn't. Sarah didn't say that, and I didn't say that.
Okay, what did you say?
Starting with Sarah and what she said. She said to me, "You didn't know Beasley Hill was one of our foremost novelists?" Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, I believe those were my exact words.
Agreed, Will?
I guess so.
All righty. Now, my reply to Sarah was, didn't know it then, don't know it now. That's just for the record, you might say.
Okay, it's for the record. What does it mean?
Well, sir, when his name came up at the meeting, it's true, I didn't know he was a novelist at all, let alone a foremost one, like Sarah says. Now I know he is one, anyways, I know he writes books, because I read one.
Which one?
Book called The Medium Was Rare.
Wasn't it delightful?
Nope. Can't say it was. Fact is, begging your pardon, Sarah, I thought it stunk.
Philo Trimble.
Mind you, I said begging your pardon.
No, Philo, is that why you want to cancel Mr. Gill's speaking engagement? Because you read one of his books and didn't like it?
Thought it stunk. Begging Sarah's pardon again.
Oh, okay. You thought it, what you said. Now, it might interest you to know that he's written about a dozen other books.
Wouldn't care to read anymore. Haven't read the one.
Well, how on earth did you ever bring him around?
Nobody brought him around. Sarah and I, we just outvoted him.
What do you think Philo will do about it now?
Nothing. He's had his fun. Got me all riled up. Got Sarah flushed in the face and breathy. Philo's just contrary. Likes nothing better than to go against the trend.
I feel sort of sorry for Beasley Hill. Philo will probably give him fits during the question and answer period after his lecture.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to worry about that till February. Sure got to hand it to Sarah, though. Usually, you know, she and Philo see eye to eye on everything.
Well, they've been engaged almost 20 years. And in case you don't know it, Philo is insanely jealous in his own fashion.
Well, I'm sure Philo realizes that Sarah just admires me in a literary sort of way.
Just the same, I'd avoid buying any ties from him for a while. He might fit you with a tight one.
Come to think of it, he did sulk a little after we voted him down.
Mm-hmm. You see? If Sarah's smart, she'll play this to the hilt.
Play what to the hilt?
Philo's little sulk. You know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if she started showering you with affection.
Now you're being silly.
20 years is a long time to wait. A girl can be excused for resorting to almost anything.
Even me?
Even you.
Well, now, flattering as it all sounds, if I know anything, I know that Sarah Holbrook has no personal interest in me. Furthermore, I'll bet I don't even see her again until the next civic forum meeting. And going one step further, I'll be a monkey's uncle if I think that...
Why, Sarah, of all the people in the world...
I'll be darned.
Well, I'll bet you're surprised to see me so soon again, Will. Will? Will, speak to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I would sit down if anyone asked me to.
Oh, yes, sure, sure. Sit down. Yeah.
Thank you. I do hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Certainly not. We weren't doing anything, were we, Maggie?
Well, I wasn't doing anything. As I recall, you were just about to go one step further and be a monkey's uncle. What on earth does that mean?
Nothing, Sarah.
It's just a trick he does when things get dull around here. Oh. Oh, you're having a little joke, you two.
A very small joke, Sarah. Now, you wanted to see me about something?
Well, yes, I did. But well, to tell you the truth, I'm a little embarrassed. Maggie, I wonder if you'd mind. Not at all, Sarah. I've got a couple of errands I can run anyway. Oh, that's a dear. Well, this is rather personal. Not another word now, Sarah. I understand completely. Will?
Not another word, Maggie.
I just wondered if you had any color preference in tight ties. Bye. I admire Maggie so much. I don't always understand her, but I do admire her so much.
Yeah.
Well, about my little personal matter with you, Will. Well, I know it's impulsive of me, but, well, I'm going to take advantage of you.
I beg your pardon, Sarah.
Oh, I know it happens to you all the time. But I said to myself this afternoon after you left, it's now or never, Sarah, I said.
Now, look, you're either saying too much or not enough.
Now, I want you to be perfectly frank, Will. Perfectly frank. I want you to tell me your exact impression, precisely how you feel about it. And no matter what your answer is, I want you to know now that it won't disturb our friendship in the slightest.
Sarah, what are you talking about?
Why, Susan's writing, of course. You remember Susan, Will.
I do?
My little niece, my brother's child. Of course you do.
Didn't even know you had a niece.
Well, I do, and a very talented youngster she is, too. At least that's what those of us in the family think.
Uh-huh.
I've taken the liberty of bringing some of her writings along with me. I hope you'll be good enough to read them and tell me exactly what you think of them. Here we are.
Well, now I tell you, Sarah, I usually steer clear of this sort of thing. I'm no critic, you know. My opinion wouldn't mean much one way or another.
Oh, now you're just being modest, Will. My goodness, you know about words and writing and all that?
Well, I'm a pretty fair judge of a news story, Sarah, or a feature or an editorial. Now, that's my field, but other writing, novels, plays, short stories... Well, like I said, my opinion don't mean much.
Well, it would mean a great deal to me, Will. And to Susan, of course. Oh, to tell you the truth, I don't have any idea whether Susan has a flair for writing or not. But I do so want your opinion. Just so we'll have, an outsider's viewpoint on it, that's all.
But I might not like it, Sarah. Whatever it is, it just might not appeal to me. I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings about it.
Oh, don't you give that a thought. After all, I've asked for your frank opinion, and I said you'd be brutally frank. Even if, well, as Philo says, it sinks.
Okay, Sarah. As long as we understand each other, I'll read them, and I'll tell you exactly what I think.
Oh, marvelous, marvelous. Oh, and I want you to take your time about it, Will. No hurry. I know you're a busy man.
Oh, thanks. I do have quite a bit of work to do on the paper the next couple of days.
Yes, I understand. I'm just so grateful that you'd read them as long as that.
Well, I tell you, I'll read them tonight, Sarah.
But I'll call you first thing in the morning.
Gazette. Oh, hello, Sarah. No, he's still at the meeting over at the hotel. I told you before he was in earlier this morning. Then he went to this meeting and he hasn't been back since. I'll tell him, Sarah. Yes. Just as soon as he comes in. Yes, I promise. Bye, Sarah.
Well, I'll give her this. She's a persistent cuss. That's the third call since I've been here.
Doc! Six calls in the last hour. You know, I thought it was funny at first, but I didn't even think it's serious.
Oh, I just can't think it is somehow, Maggie. I'm sure Sarah's fond of Will, but I can't get it through my head that she's romantically interested in him.
She keeps saying to tell him she hasn't slept a wink all night, waiting for his answer. No, really.
No. That's still pretty flimsy evidence.
I wish it were the only evidence I have.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I could kick myself. Sometimes I don't know the difference between a nose for news and being just plain nosy. Only, darn it, he shouldn't leave things out in plain sight on his desk and expect me not to read them.
All right now, Maggie, just keep body and soul together. I'm sure Will doesn't have any secrets from you.
Neither does Sarah Holbrook. Now, Doc, listen to this. Tell me, signpost, heavens above. How many miles from here to love?
What is that?
It's from a series of love poems by S. Holbrook.
Sarah?
Who else?
Great. Day in the morning. You think she wrote that to Will?
Well, if she's written it to Philo, wouldn't she have to say how many years from here to love?
Hi, Maggie. Doc?
How are you, son?
That's a pretty professional tone, Doc. But I'm fine, thanks.
Sarah Holbrook has called six times since you left.
I'll amend that, Doc. I don't feel so fine after all. Well, get the better caller. Get it over with.
She hasn't slept all night waiting for your answer.
Yeah, it kept me awake, too. On second thought, maybe I better go over to Sarah's and tell her.
Yes, it might be kinder that way, son.
Yeah, I guess it would. Well.
She sure didn't give you much time, did she?
Oh, they never do. Just hope she takes it okay. Well, see you two later.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, Doc?
I was just wondering, Maggie. Would you care to join me in a mild sedative?
Listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. We'll return to our story in just a moment, but first, tomorrow night at the Star's address, CBS Radio's Junior Miss, played by Barbara Whiting, launches a good neighbor policy involving the family next door. City Life takes a turn for the hilarious for Junior Miss tomorrow night on most of these same stations. On the same evening, Mama Bronson proves that Mama doesn't always know best by meddling with daughter Millie's love life. Remember, you meet Millie at the Star's address tomorrow and every Thursday night. And now we continue with the second act of Rogers of the Gazette.
Read them all. I'm going to take you at your word and tell you just...
Which one did you like best?
Now, that's hard to say. What I was going to say, being brutally frank, and I know you want me to
but be... But you must have liked one better than the others. For instance, I'm very partial to Nine for Tragedy.
I don't remember that, but the title, anyway.
Oh, I think it stood out from the rest rather prominently. It's the one that goes, I am bleak and tormented like a wine that's fermented.
Oh, yeah, that one. Well,
now, Will, don't you think that one stands out?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's any worse than any of the rest of them, but I...
Didn't like Susan's poems?
I didn't like them. I'm sorry, but I just didn't.
Oh. Well, what didn't you like about them? What's wrong with them?
Oh, I don't exactly know, Sarah. I have to admit that I'm not much on poetry to begin with.
Oh, you don't care for poetry. Well, if you'd said that yesterday, I wouldn't have troubled you with them. I mean, if you're prejudiced like a star.
I don't have anything against poetry. I've read poems I've liked. I just didn't like these, Sarah. Now, you asked me for my opinion, and that's it.
Well, I've read a great deal of poetry. A very great deal. And I think some of Susan's are head and shoulders about some of the things that are written in the name of poetry. That's what I think.
Well, now, that's fine. And maybe you're right and I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong.
Well, I think you're just as wrong as you can be. That's what I think.
Now, Sarah, you remember that I told you yesterday that there might be some hurt feelings. I told you that all I could give you was my opinion. And you told me to be brutally frank, that you wanted an outsider's opinion. Isn't that right?
Well, I don't see anything right about it. Who are you to set yourself up as a judge of writing? Just what makes you think you know talent when you see it?
Now, hold it, Sarah. I'm the first to admit that I'm no real judge. I told you yesterday that I didn't know about things like this.
Well, all the more reason why you shouldn't dash a youngster's dreams of a literary career. Just what gives you the right, Will? Just what gives you the right?
Oh, now, Sarah, don't cry. Golly, I didn't mean to make you cry.
Well, I'm not crying. For me. She'll be heartbroken when I tell her.
Well, then don't tell her.
Oh, I'll have to. Oh, well, I've made a botch of everything.
Oh, now, it's not as bad as that. Just let her go ahead and write her little poems. She doesn't have to know about this.
But she already knows. I guess it was wrong, but I got excited yesterday after I talked to you, and I'm afraid I called her, Will.
Well, that's not so bad, is it?
When I told her you'd promised to tell me what you thought of them today, she said she and her mother had been meaning to visit me.
Uh-oh.
Will, they're driving up from the city this afternoon. You've got to talk to her, Will. You've just got to tell her yourself. I'm sorry, Will, but it is funny. It's awfully funny.
Well, I wish you'd point out the humor in it to me.
Well, it's just that Doc and I were a tiny bit mistaken. We had it all figured out that Sarah was suddenly mad for you and was penning love couplets to you.
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, now, just think about it a minute. It's really funny. Think about Philo as a jealous lover for a while. You'll get hysterical.
I'm already hysterical. You know what I've got to do? I've got to tell some little kid about Jill's age that she's got no talent. I'll call up Doc and have a good laugh over that.
I'm sorry. I really am.
I swear I don't know how I get into these things. I'm not a bit sure how I'm going to get out of this one.
Well, if she's Jill's age, just talk to her like she was your daughter.
If she were my daughter, I'd paddle her good. break all her pen points for writing stuff like that.
When are you going to see her?
Anytime now, I guess. They're coming by for me here. Sarah's going to try and soften the blow by taking us out to dinner. Figured it'd be better to shatter Susan's young dreams after a good meal.
Poor Will. You do get mixed up in the darndest thing.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Susan Holbrook.
Well, I'll be
a... Hold it, Will. It's my turn. I'll be a monkey's uncle.
I hope you don't mind about Aunt Sarah. She developed one of her frightful headaches, and Mother just insisted on staying with her.
No, I don't mind. Lately, I don't seem to mind about anything.
I'm glad you don't mind.
Miss Holbrook, ordinarily I don't ask this question, but if it isn't a state secret, how old are you?
Well, most women would mind that question, but I don't. I don't care who knows I'm 18.
You know, you ought to have a talk with your Aunt Sarah. She gave me the impression you were quite a bit younger.
I'm a lot more interested in your impression.
I guess you're 18, all right.
I'd like to call you Will, and I wish you'd call me Susan.
All right.
I'm terribly unconventional, Will. Are you?
Well, I don't think so.
I am. I love to walk in the rain. Whenever it rains, I walk in it. And imagine I'm in London or someplace where it rains all the time. In the slums, probably, and everything's bleak and tormented.
Mine for tragedy?
Well, that's where I got the idea for it, walking in the rain.
Where'd you get the title?
Oh, I just counted the words in the poem. 9 words. And the theme suggested the tragedy to me.
Do you have any idea what it means to be bleak or tormented?
Well, I can imagine it. In the rain.
Do you enjoy writing, Susan?
Oh, I'm driven to it. I just can't help myself. Everything's so terribly stark and all, I just have to write about it.
What's so terribly stark?
Well, everything is... Isn't it?
No, I don't think so. You know something, Susan? I don't think you enjoy writing at all.
You don't?
No, I really don't. Now, listen, I just run a country newspaper, and I could be wrong, you understand. But you see, most writers write about what they know about. You don't know very much about bleak and tormented and stark and all those dark words. Now, do you really?
I just barely know what they mean.
Doesn't it get kind of cold walking around in the rain?
Oh, does it? I just nearly freeze sometimes.
Well, why do you suppose you do that? I mean, do you like it?
Oh, I don't know. Of course, it is terribly stark and all that.
And terribly wet and cold.
Oh, I know. Mother and Daddy just nearly have fits about it. But then when I write something down and sort of leave it where they can find it, I think it... Well, I think it impresses them, if you know what I mean.
I think I know.
You don't think I'm a very good poetry writer, do you, Will?
I don't even think you want to be, Susan.
Oh, now that's funny. I never really thought about it that way. Wanting to, I mean. Everyone's always just said I had a flair for writing. I don't know. Do you think I should destroy myself?
Oh, I don't believe it would, Susan. Pretty girl like you ought to get yourself a boyfriend, if you haven't already got one.
Oh, golly, how teenager can you get?
Nothing wrong with a boyfriend. Maybe someday you might want to get married and quit walking in the rain.
Gee, get married. Maybe if I give up my career, well, maybe then I'll have time to think about marriage.
She's just a dramatic kid, Doc. I don't think anybody's talked sense to her before.
Yeah, maybe not. But Maggie tells me you've been talking sense to Susan right regular lately.
Yeah, a little too regularly to suit me. She's kind of dogging my trail a little. Pops in and out of the office, calls night and day. Found her waiting for me at home a couple of times.
Will, you know Philo is nervous as a cat, don't you?
Yeah, what's his problem?
I think he figures it's you. And I think Sarah's content to let him figure just that way.
Oh, honestly. Between you and Maggie... I'm thinking of starting a Tips to Romancers column in the Gazette and turning it over to you two. Are you coming in with me?
No, I got a call to make. Philo's got a touch of heartburn.
Yeah, well, tell him to bite the bullet for me.
So long, Doc.
Goodbye, Will.
What's the score this time, Maggie?
He's called 4 times, been here twice.
Think I ought to have a little talk with her?
Seems to me all you've done the last week is have little talks with her.
Well, she'll be going home at the end of the week. I guess we can stick it out for Lynn.
Would you like some free advice?
No.
Good. I ought to charge for this anyway. Because I don't know what you have in mind, but I know darn well what's on Susan's mind. And you better do something about it.
What are you talking about?
Little Miss Bleak and Tormented has turned in her writing tools. She's all domestic now. How do you cook this? How long do you bake a cake? Do I know how to iron men's shirts?
Do you?
Well, I excel at ironing men's shirts, but that's not the point. Susan Holbrook told me only today that she's decided a woman's place is in the home. And what I want to know from you is whose home?
Don't ask me. Ask Susan.
Will, from her own lips, I heard it. Will's opened my eyes to marriage as a career.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Oh, now, Maggie, are you going to start that again? First, Sarah's crazy about me. Now, Susan is. I'll be a monkey's uncle if any...
Don't say that again. Oh, I see you two are having another of your little jokes. Nothing but fun and games around here, Sarah. Well, I'm afraid I'll have to put you to work, Ben. A little social item.
That's Maggie's department, Sarah.
No, now don't be too sure, Will. After all, you're responsible for the whole thing.
How's that?
I'm all there, Sarah. Well, I'm having a little tea on Saturday. Well, let's just say it's for Susan and her mother. I guess that's just as good a way to put it as any. It is. If you're having the tea for Susan and her mother. Now, Maggie, you make me say things I shouldn't say. Things that should wait till Saturday. Of course, I'm just bursting to tell you, but it is a surprise. Or have you already guessed? Tell you the truth, Sarah, I'm afraid to guess. Why don't you guess, Will? You're responsible for the whole thing.
Well, I sure don't see how I could be responsible for you having tea for Susan and her mother.
Well, you just are, that's all. Why, if it hadn't been for you, there'd be no announcement to make.
Announcement?
Why, Will. Oh, my. I came right out and said it, didn't I? And I did so want to save it till Saturday. Susan wanted it to be a surprise.
Susan did?
Oh, you know how romantic youngsters are. He sure does.
Oh, my.
Well, the cat's out of the bag now. But don't put it in the story, Maggie. Just say I'm having a tea and let it go at that. After all, I've waited 20 years.
Huh?
Well, I can wait till Saturday to tell my friends.
You mean you and Philo?
Of course I mean me and Philo.
Oh, Sarah, I could kiss you. In fact, I'm going to kiss you.
Good for you, Will. Maybe you'll start a trend.
Oh, my goodness, Will.
Hi, Philo. You don't mind my kissing the bride-to-be, do you? Don't agree with that position at all.
Just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Parley Bear as Doc Clemens and Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Our story was written by Kathleen Height and produced and transcribed by Norman MacDonald. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Irene Tedrow, and Eleanor Tannen. The special music for Rogers of the Gazette was composed by Rene Garrigay and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. CBS Radio hopes to introduce you to a minority of one. We'd like you to meet Eric Hudgens, editor and author, a man with an enormous range of interests to share with his listeners. Listen for Eric Hudgens, a minority of one, starting tomorrow night on most of these same stations. Help us unveil a new star here at the Star's Address. This is Roy Rowan speaking. The Corollaires sing Tuesdays and Thursdays on the CBS Radio Network.